ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 12, Text 16. Anapeksha Shuchir Daksha,
Anapeksha Shuchir Daksha,
Udasino Gatavyataha,
Udasino Gatavyataha,
Savarambha Parityagi, Yo mad bhakta same priyaha,
Yo mad bhakta same priyaha,
Anapeksha shuchir daksha,
Anapeksha shuchir daksha,
Udasino gatavyathaha,
Udasino gatavyathaha,
Sarvarambha parityagi,
Sarvarambha parityagi,
Yo mad bhakta same priyaha. Lord Krishna says, I'm giving the translation, the full verse translation, my devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Purport. Money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically by the grace of the Supreme money comes to him, he is not agitated. Naturally, a devotee takes a bath at least twice in a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service. Thus, he is naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life, and he is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. A devotee never takes the part of a particular party, therefore he is carefree. He is never pained because he is free from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation, so if there are some bodily pains, he is free. The pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. In every sentence of this purport, there's much that could be unpacked and discussed, but I want particularly to take up the point of Srila Prabhupada writes about constructing a temple for the Lord, which is obviously pertinent to the situation here. As for the last several years, the central activity at ISKCON Salem has been chanting Hare Krishna and building a temple. Central activity is chanting Hare Krishna, but the building a temple has taken up a lot of the time, endeavor, and so on. So I'll read from a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Mayapur in 1976. I might have been there, I'm not sure. I'd have to check the dates. February the 18th. I must have arrived in Mayapur around that time. That was around the time of the Mayapur festival. So Srila Prabhupada, at that time, and still now, construction was a central activity in ISKCON Mayapur. They're building a temple. And now they're building several temples, and now they're building another temple. So it's a major activity there in Mayapur, building temples. And even before ISKCON was established there, there were several temples which were built fairly recently, within the last 100 years, which is recent as temple building goes. As you know, living in Tamil Nadu, where there are so many famous temples, hundreds of years old. And after Srila Prabhupada inaugurated the construction of ISKCON Mayapur, there are so many temples have come, so many different, mostly Gaudiya Math branches and sub-branches. So in this lecture, Srila Prabhupada is talking about building a temple for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, that is Krishna consciousness, that I'll serve Krishna with this endeavor, I'll collect something. So that's Krishna consciousness, to use one's endeavor for Krishna. But then Srila Prabhupada changes the perspective. What you'll collect, what will you collect? It's Krishna's money. Everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasyam idam saravam. So what can you collect? It is Krishna's. Just like we are constructing this temple, we are feeling that I am constructing, we are constructing, but actually it is Krishna's. The bricks, the iron, or the cement, or anything that you are collecting, that is Krishna's property. You are taking Krishna's earth and you are making it a brick. Still, it is Krishna's property. But the endeavor, the energy which you are giving to Krishna, that is taken into account. Oh, he is working for me. He wants to give me something. That Krishna consciousness is important. Otherwise, Krishna, by his will, can construct 16,000 palaces for his queen. You remember, Krishna, he was already married to 8 queens. And then he went off. Time to time, he used to go out to Dwarka and come back. And this time he came back with 16,000 new wives, or wives-to-be. Well, that's a major construction job, isn't it? And they don't just want an apartment each, they all have a big palace each. So imagine if we asked you, oh, that's a nice temple you're building, now build 15,999 more. Actually, it's 16,000 is separate, 16,100 queens, isn't it? So that's a big job, isn't it? But for Krishna, nothing's a big job. Some things are very big, just like when in childhood Nanda Maharaj says, you bring my shoes, and then he struggles to pick them up. Very difficult for him. But then for him to just build so many temples, very easy. So when he likes, he's a little boy, and when he likes, he's God, as you like, as he likes. Or as you like, if you're Nanda Maharaj, then he adopts to his devotee. Anyway, by his will, he can construct 16,000 palaces for his queen. What this teeny temple will satisfy him? So you see, they're building a big temple, and it's all the talk of at least Nadia district, if not all of Bengal, West Bengal, and then throughout ISKCON, building a temple. And Prabhupada says, what is this teeny temple? But still he's satisfied. Oh, you have done so much. Very good. Recognized. Krishna has created the whole universe. Yes, yaika nishvasita kala. There's many universes. He doesn't require any endeavor simply by breathing. How about that? Anyone here can do that? Build a temple. Just breathing. No, it's a lot more than just breathing. But for Krishna, simply by breathing. Yes, aika nishvasita kala matava lambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanataha. By his breathing, many millions of Brahmas are coming out. Jagadandanataha. And each Jagadandanataha, Brahma, is creating a universe. Yes, yaika nishvasita kalam atavalambhya. Atavalambhya. So to create a temple, he doesn't require our help. He can create millions of temples by his will. There are already. So we should always remember this, that Krishna does not require our service. But if we give some service to Krishna, that is our benefit. This is the formula. Don't think that Krishna is very much obliged, but he feels obliged. Why? Avidushaha. We are all fools and rascals. We are thinking that we are giving some service. No, we cannot give any. We are so insignificant that we cannot. He's unlimited and we are very, very limited. Teeny. But still, just like the small child gives something to the father, it is the father's property. But still, the father is very glad that the child is giving me lozenges. He thinks this is my big property. So we should always remember this verse, that naivatmana prapurayang nijalabha purnaha. He is always full with six opulences. There is no question of satisfying by giving something. This Daridra Narayan Seva has come under this misunderstanding that we have to serve God, so when God comes as Daridra, then we shall give. So Srila Prabhupada is putting it into perspective there. I don't want to discourage you all. And I know you're all working very sincerely here. But actually, if we get encouraged, I could say, yes, yes, you're doing great work, you're doing great service. And you all feel, yeah, very good, very nice, and feel, yeah, we're doing great. But actually, if we require that, if that encourages us, then we're probably not doing it for the right motive. Just if we get reminded, as we already know, that we're doing everything for Krishna, I'm so fortunate to have the opportunity to engage in Krishna's service, then that should encourage us, that Krishna is so great. He has in Dwaraka 16,108 palaces for 16,108 queens, and each palace is far more opulent and magnificent and big than the temple we're building here. We have to build with so much endeavor, but still it won't be up to this, not really up to Krishna's standard. But anyway, we pray that Krishna will be pleased with this endeavor. He is so kind. Even the little squirrel pushing some sand into the sea can't help build the bridge to Lanka. So it might seem the effort is very insignificant. It is very insignificant. Everything's insignificant in relation to Krishna. But he's so kind, he accepts. Bhavagrahi janadana. He accepts the mood in which the offering is done. So let us be encouraged on this platform that Krishna will be pleased, and so many people will come and they will take darshan of Krishna and take Krishna's prasad, and they will be benefited in devotional service. So yeah, it's a great achievement, just like for the squirrel pushing sand into the sea, it was a great achievement. For the monkeys, they thought, they're just laughing, what's going on? But then Ram, he doesn't need their service also. Just to play out his worldly pastimes, he has the monkeys build the bridge over the sea, the bridge of floating stones. But he doesn't need anyone's help to kill Ravana, and he's completely self-sufficient. Even it might seem that Ram is less than Hanuman, because Hanuman can jump over the sea and he had to build a bridge. But by Ram's mercy, he makes Hanuman seem greater than him. But Hanuman knows, no, I'm his servant. I know there's no way I'm greater than him. He'll pulverize you if you say like that. That was Ravana's fault, wasn't it? He thought, I'm bigger than Ram. So he learned the lesson the hard way. We can learn by hearing. We've all got a little Ravana inside us. Maybe in Tamil Nadu, maybe people think, well, that's very good. We like to be like Ravana. The propaganda. There's so many people, not nowadays, but in the previous generation, they got given the name Ravana, right? That was a popular name. This Karuna Nidhi encouraged. If you have a son, call him Ravana. How inauspicious. Ravanari, that's the name of Ram, who, the enemy of Ravana. So that's a good name, but not Ravana. What a terrible name. Really, it's really Adharmam Dharmam Itiya Manyate Tamasa Vrita. People who are in Tamaguna, they take Dharma to be Adharma, and vice versa. Anyway, from the squirrel's point of view, he was doing the best he could. And so we can say it's a great achievement. Of course, the temple's not finished yet. But even so, even materialistic people will think, oh, something special is going on here, building this temple. That's one reason why we build big temples. Otherwise, for preaching Krishna consciousness, there's intrinsically no need. The yoga dharma is chanting Hare Krishna, it's not building temples. But if you chant Hare Krishna, people think we're just a bunch of beggars or something like that. You build a big temple, then you actually become a beggar because you go to people and beg them for money. But, something very impressive, even materialistic people, yeah. This Vatican, the Vatican City, the capital of the Catholic Church, they deliberately build a super impressive, it is very impressive, buildings, cathedral, to make a visual impression so people can think this is something very important. It's very beautiful also, very grand, and it makes an impression that this is something very important. So that building temples is for that purpose. Also, even materialistic people will think it's something very important. If they don't understand, or they're not interested to understand spiritual philosophy. But they might become somewhat inclined to it if they think, well, these people, they're doing something which we can recognize as something very important. For them, building big buildings is a sign that it's a big person does such a thing. I was hearing a conversation with Srila Prabhupada and one of his disciples, Mahindra, in Los Angeles. He's still in Los Angeles, serving there. He lives just opposite the temple. So his father was a businessman, and he was upset that my son has joined this funny people jumping around in the streets, singing some funny songs. And then the Mahindra, he was in charge of the BBT at that time, was printing huge numbers of books, a million books at a time. That was for. And just recently, I heard one conversation. Rameshwar said to Prabhupada, "If you know the early history of ISKCON, you have to know these names, Rameshwar." So he said to Srila Prabhupada, "We printed 1 million books. No, I'm sorry, 1 million magazines back to Godhead. That's just for 1 month, for July." Mahindra was in charge of the BBT, printing so many books, and his father came to visit. And when his father came in his son's office and saw that it was bigger than his own office, then he thought, "Ah, yes, Hare Krishna, very good. You see, my son, he's doing a big thing. He's dealing with millions of dollars." Big office, so many phones. It used to be that you'd have 6, 7 phones and all ringing all the time, and secretaries, and oh, yes, very important. Well, that's not in and of itself the essence of Krishna consciousness. But if he saw his son just sitting down chanting japa, he'd think, why is he wasting his time? He could be making money, like me. I utilize my life in a proper way by making money. So materialistic people, the temples, in one important way, they are for impressing. materialistic people. Even materialistic people will see it's a great achievement. The devotee, he doesn't do it that the materialistic people become impressed with him, but in one sense, yes, because even if you build a big temple, the people won't think, well, Krishna's great. They'll think the person who built it is great, because that's the way materialistic people think. And then they might listen to you say, and then you have to tell them, well, Krishna's great. Oh, and then they might start to understand. So one has to be very careful also of that mentality of thinking that I'm great, because whatever we do in this world, people will tend to think it's great according to what they value as great. If someone in the society of devotees, if someone's sitting and chanting all day and practically not eating, not sleeping, then people will say he's great among the devotees. So whatever you, if anyone excels in anything, then people start to recognize. And that desire for recognition is the great enemy of devotion. Yeah, La puja pratishta di jata upashaka gan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns against these desires in the heart for monetary gain, respect, position, and so on. So devotee has to be very careful even while doing great things for Krishna. We should try to do great things for Krishna according to our own understanding, that will be. According to our own understanding means what can we do? As Prabhupada was pointing out, how can we serve Krishna anyway? We talk about service to Krishna, devotional service, what can we do to serve him when he's so great? So the service we do is just like offering lozenges. Do you know the word? Do you use that word, lozenges? Yeah? You all know? Yeah, okay. In English it's not used much. It's old English, but I guess in India it goes on. The Victorian English still goes on. So it's just like a child offering lozenges to his father. And his father's... They're talking about the old days where the fathers used to earn money and look after the family, and still some do that. I'm just coming from the village where the women work, they earn money and they support the family, and the men, they may work or not work, whatever money they get, they drink it. So they don't... Many people like that in the country areas. So the father's maintaining the child, and the child can get the lozenges because the father gives them, but if the child gives to the father, oh, very nice. So like that, we can't really do much. But then from our perspective, building a temple, preaching Krishna consciousness in various ways, it's a great achievement. Who could have imagined? There was, how many years ago? 30 years ago, one young boy going to school in Rijeka. You all heard of Rijeka? No. Who ever heard of Rijeka? Outside of Croatia and maybe Slovenia. No one ever heard of Rijeka, although it's the second biggest city in Croatia. Who ever heard of Croatia? It's like that, isn't it? When you tell people Croatia, they haven't even heard of it. And Slovenia's even worse. I think Croatia did something in football and tennis, you told me, so people maybe not. So a boy going to school, could you or anyone else at that time have imagined that you'd be building a temple, huge temple in India? Just unimaginable. If they'd have said, in future you'll be a deep sea diver going to the bottom of the sea, or you'll be an astronaut going to the moon, they might think that's more possible. But going to India and building a temple, people from Croatia don't do that. Who could have imagined? It's a great achievement. Unexpected. It's not finished yet. Always remember. No. Who could have imagined? Who could have imagined that this Abhay Babu was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, used to come to the Gauri Man, play Madanga, sometimes give classes. That was quite an honor for a grihastha to give classes. But he was, even in Bombay, he was there doing business, and he was helping his godbrothers to establish a center. So he was known within the Gauriya Math, and quite good among those rotten grihasthas, they used to call pocha grihastha. The brahmacharis who were living in the temple used to call them, and they're all rotten. They're rotting away in material life. So who could have imagined that he would go all over the world and establish so many temples? No one could have imagined. Well, maybe Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur imagined. The astrologer said. But no one, among his family, no one seemed to... Prabhupada said, and the astrologer said when he was born that he would go overseas and build 108 temples, but didn't seem that they trained him like that, and his father got him married, and then he was working in some pharmaceutical company. Who could have imagined? Of course, some of you are here from childhood, so you didn't have much choice. Lucky for you. But others, who could have imagined that you were, if you look back, if you go back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, could you imagine you'll be getting up early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, dedicating your life to Krishna? Not imagined. Now, how is this all possible? It's possible by the mercy of Krishna. Mukham karoti vachalang pangung langhayate kirim yat kripa tamahang vande paramananda madhavam. This verse apparently is written or manifested through Shankaracharya, who says that by the grace of Madhava, Krishna, who is the husband of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, a lame man can speak, and a lame man can cross over a mountain. Makes the impossible possible. So everyone has the potential, theoretically, or to do great things in Krishna's service. I'm just seeing so many of my god brothers and god sisters passing away, which is to be expected, as most of them are over 65 years old, so it's to be expected. But when I hear so and so passed away, and I just think that, oh, they had so much knowledge of Krishna consciousness and so much experience and training, and they went on chanting Hare Krishna throughout their life, but in many cases, you think, well, they could have, at least theoretically, they could have done so much more before they passed away. They could have brought Krishna consciousness to everyone. Or of course, not everyone can be a great acharya. But everyone should really do the best they can to serve Krishna in this lifetime. Janma sartak kari karo para upakar. The first thing, we have to get our own life organized so that we can be Krishna conscious. We have to take up Krishna consciousness seriously. But then we have to see how we can help others also. Especially Srila Prabhupada quoted this, quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially saying to Indians, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janmaja Janma Shata Kari Karo Para Upaka. Those who are fortunate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and Srila Prabhupada often repeated it, those who are fortunate to have attained a human body in the land of India, they should make their life meaningful, successful, and do activities for the benefit of others. Share what they've received in Krishna consciousness. So seems that some devotees are underachievers. You've heard these words in the Indian school system, colleges, we hear about underachievers, successes and underachievers. So spiritually also, we should try to do as much as we can in this lifetime in Krishna's service. There are also what we could say overachievers, just like I was saying, we didn't expect that someone would come from Western countries and build a big temple and preach Krishna consciousness to so many people. There's another kind, we could say, of overachiever, of someone who sees this, someone is doing big things and they try to do big things, but not really for the right motive. Someone who does big things in Krishna consciousness, they can do, they're blessed by Krishna if they have the idea, let me simply try to serve Krishna. When Hanuman was jumping to Lanka, he didn't think, see, now it'll be in the Ramayana and everyone will praise me for thousands and millions of years later. So let me burn Lanka also, just to make sure they don't forget to include me in the Ramayana. He wasn't thinking like that. He was only at every moment he was thinking, what is the best way to serve Lord Rama? He thought about it at every moment. He thought, well, what shall I do now? He said, okay, I found Sita. Now I have to go back to Rama. But anyway, I came here. So what more should I do? And then he thought, I'll just give them some idea of who they're up against. And then he killed a few people, this including son of Ravana. That was a big thing. Aksha, I think is. Akampan came later. Aksha, I think, is his first one. And then he was arrested. He allowed himself to be arrested. Oh, he was Brahmastra. Indrajit, was it? Indrajit gave him a Brahmastra. And then the other soldiers came and they thought, well, he's not dead, so if he gets up again, we'll be in trouble. So we'll tie him up, which neutralized the Brahmastra. But anyway, Hanuman went along with it because he thought, well, now I'll get a good chance to see Ravana in person and everything. And he told Ravana that you think you're a big guy. Huh? I'm just one monkey, and Ram has millions of them, and we're coming. See you soon. See you soon. So then he burned up Lanka, and then he thought, maybe I burned up Sita too. What am I doing? But the point is, at every moment he was thinking, how can I serve Ram? He calculated his activities. What am I doing? What's the best thing I can do to serve Ram? And he didn't do it in a way thinking that, I'll go back and I tell everyone I burned Lanka and then they'll all cheer me, Jai Hanuman. He wasn't thinking like that at all. But it is possible that even in Krishna consciousness there may be some kind of envy or desire to emulate others and see, they build a big temple, I'll build a big temple, I'll build a bigger temple. Or I'll distribute more books, or I'll do this and I'll do that. And we might be able to, but we won't get Krishna's mercy in the same way. That's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Brahmana in Sri Rangam who was reading on the order of his guru, he's reading Gita every day, but he couldn't pronounce it properly. But he went on doing so on his guru's order, because it was guru's order is one thing, and he visualized Krishna driving Arjuna, and that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It wasn't any massive thing that he did. What was the thing that he did? He misread Bhagavad Gita. That's what he did. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that your reading of Bhagavad Gita is the best. So it's again bhavagrahi janardana. Krishna accepts the mood. So overachiever, when one's really trying hard to achieve something, So in one sense, yes, it's good too, but always remembering that I'm simply Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamale or Das Udas Anudas. I'm simply servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the husband and maintainer of the gopis. Here he doesn't say Krishna, who's the lord of the universes. And Krishna himself, he's the biggest achiever by far. Yes, Prabhupada quotes it. Yes, yaika nishvasita kalam atavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagarandanata Vishnur mahan sah yasya kala vishesho Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. That Govinda, who is the original person who Brahma worships, just a portion of him is the Mahavishnu, from whose breathing come out all the universes in seed form. But that same Krishna, what he's Govinda. He likes to be with the cows and play with the cowherd boyfriends and the gopis. So to become the servant of the servant of he who is, he's the greatest achiever, no doubt, but he doesn't make a big show of his achievements. See, I'm so big. And he gets more pleasure in giving pleasure to his devotees. So we should try to do the most we can in Krishna's service. But the best thing we can do among all things, better than building hundreds of big temples, is to chant Hare Krishna, even once purely. It's maybe easier to build hundreds of big temples than to chant Hare Krishna once purely. And then what? Then should we stop building? No, go on building temples, but go on chanting Hare Krishna also. And remember that at the time of death, we have, what is the greatest achievement? Janmalabha parampungsang ante narayana smritihi. Having been born, the greatest thing we can do is to die remembering Narayana, remembering Krishna. So we should never lose sight of that. There's no doubt so much busy, so much effort, thinking about, Prabhupada mentions bricks and mortar and iron, and here it's more stone, but also there's mortar here. Mortar, some cement, all these things. So we may be absorbed in thought of that, but always remember this is for Krishna, because it's possible to do all the right things, like building temples for Krishna, for all the wrong reasons. For personal desires. Well, anyway, if we build a temple for Krishna, that's very good. But we always have to see that our motives are simply to serve Krishna. And it's also possible to do all the right things in devotional service and not get big results. When Srila Prabhupada was first in America, there was no sign of any big movement. There was no movement. It was only him. But he was as perfect a Paramahamsa then in 1965 in America as he was in 1975 in America, where whenever he came, every city he came to, there'd be press, what do they call it? Press conference, and the TV cameras would come, and big people came to see him. He was the head of a thriving, noticed movement. But Srila Prabhupada, even before all those things had happened, was a perfect Paramahamsa, fully absorbed in service to Krishna. And theoretically speaking, if that hadn't manifested, it wouldn't have been that Srila Prabhupada was any less a devotee. Everything's in Krishna's hands. We should always remember, everything's in Krishna's hands. Srila Prabhupada would often quote that, man proposes and God disposes. And that we should all try to do our best to serve Krishna doesn't mean that, well, everyone now leaves the temple and you all go off and start your own project. And you can do your best for Krishna by cleaning the pots in the temple. That's also required. If everyone says, okay, now I'm going to go off and be a big acharya, and there's no one to clean the pots in the kitchen, then Krishna won't be pleased. We have to work in a systematic way. Srila Prabhupada organized ISKCON in a very systematic way. One time some devotees were asking, because there's this idea that organized religion means it can't be good, must be bad. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, we have to be very organized. We have to, because otherwise how can we spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? There's this idea that saintly people should be so detached from the world, they don't even know what the time of day is, or whether it's day or night. That's for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For us who are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to take his mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It means we have to work in tandem with the world. Just like, for instance, if we have to go from one place to another for preaching, we have to go by train. We have to get to the train station on time. We can't think that, well, I'm a Paramahamsa. Don't they know that? Then the train's already left. Bring it back. It's not going to happen. That's foolishness to think like that, that we'll be so so-called transcendental that we miss the train. So that means we have to work with the consciousness of serving Krishna and at the same time consciousness of this world. It's like building this temple. If we're not conscious in the way that someone who's building a building should be conscious, then you're going to get cheated. Build a building and it'll fall down even before you open it. And you have to build it so that it'll last for hundreds of years. But unless you're right there on the spot at every moment, then you know that the workers aren't going to do properly and this and that. So it requires to be apparently in material consciousness. But actually that's Krishna consciousness, because it's all being done for Krishna. Again, we can so many examples we can take. The monkeys, before Hanuman jumped to Lanka, they were considering, how can we go to Lanka? And then the different ones, they were considering in a realistic way. That I could jump. One monkey said, "I can jump so far." Someone else said, "I can jump so far." But Jambavan said, "I could jump one way, but I'm old, and I'm not sure if I could jump back." And then Jambavan pointed at Hanuman. He couldn't do it. So they were discussing realistically. They didn't just say, "Okay, I'll go. I'll jump." Angada could also say, no, you stay. We need you here. We don't want to risk you. So they were discussing in a very realistic way. Not, well, I want to do a great thing for Ram. I heard Bhakti Vikas Swami's lecture, and he said you should do a great thing, so I'll jump. But yeah, you can't do it. You just be realistic. Yeah. So they were realistic. The one who could do that, they said. And the others, they joined later in the fight. And they all did their best, and they're all very pleasing to Ram by doing their best. It's all in Krishna's hands, and Krishna gives different people different abilities. But again, we may not even know how much ability we have unless we try to see what we can do. We've seen so many instances of devotees who it doesn't seem like they could distribute any books, but then they really try and they really surrender, and even then they might not be able to distribute, but they keep on trying, and at some point Krishna just blesses them, and then they start distributing so many books. Or maybe that someone from the beginning, they have some knack that they can just meet people, they just meet. I've seen some book distributors, they're just on the street, and they see someone, and in about, I'm talking about in the Western countries, in about 10 seconds, the person's got his hand in his pocket, pulling out his wallet and giving the money, and in 30 seconds the whole thing's over. He goes on to the next person. And like that, just amazing how you can distribute books, so many, so quickly. So someone may have more ability than that, and someone may have less. It's not necessarily that those who do very big things are more dear to Krishna. That's the thing, is to be dear to Krishna. And then that also shouldn't be advertised. Everyone's trying to advertise themselves. You see, he's doing big things, but I'm really pure, and he's not. We always want to advertise ourselves. I'm better than everyone else. Some way or other, we always want to show that we're better. See, in our temple, they're all educated, and in that temple, see, they're all just coming because they couldn't get a job. Some way, we always have to try to show ourselves better than others. But that's not a Vaishnav mood at all. A Vaishnav mood is simply we want to serve and not promoting ourselves. So it might be that someone we don't even know, we don't even notice, is actually a very advanced devotee. We don't know. Krishna knows. Krishna knows. Krishna is pleased with anyone who tries to serve him. And again, we shouldn't be thinking, I want to be more advanced so that I'll be ahead of the others. It's material. This materialistic way of thinking, we have to somehow or other get this out of our system and really understand what it means to be Das Anudas, Vaishnav Das Anudas Anudas. Get out the mentality of, I'll show myself to be better than others. And then we're analyzing everyone, see if we can find, yeah, it looks very, oh, but look, he eats too much. No, that just proves he's not advanced, you see. And you have to find out some fault. Very expert to find out faults in others. Anyway, we don't want to get too much on the mental platform here, always, but just this endeavor to build this temple is a great opportunity for service, because it requires everyone to dedicate. It's a lot of hard work, day after day, year after year. Then when it's built and opened, then so many people will be coming. Already they're beginning to come. So great opportunities for going on serving more and more. It requires great dedication, no doubt. So it's a great, in that way, it's very helpful for our spiritual advancement, that we can, we have to. It's not just by sitting around and wishing the temples come up. That's for Krishna, that's not for us. even Krishna had his Vishvakarma. He gave the work to, but Vishvakarma had to do something. He had to engage others, and so many things. So it's a great opportunity, and it requires a lot of surrender to Krishna. So that helps us to come up. We need a dynamic mood. There's dynamic mood here. The kirtans are going on very strongly. So we should do that. Keep the beat going on strongly. Keep the mood dynamic. Keep the spirits high. Have confidence that we're doing everything for Krishna. So Krishna, please accept our service. And then we've find reciprocation from Krishna, that we can engage in kirtan very happily. To chant Hare Krishna and be happy, that's Srila Prabhupada's instruction, but to actually do it, it's a great blessing to be able to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Be happy means, real happiness means, when we're fully surrendering to Krishna and we're giving up material desires, then we can be happy. Otherwise, we can be chanting Hare Krishna and not be happy. Sometimes we see. One of my godbrothers, he was living in Vrindavan. He was tormented by material desires. He didn't want to marry. He'd already been married and it didn't work out. And he was chanting 64 rounds a day and he was just, but he wasn't, he looked miserable. He was stuck in some mental state. He didn't have any particular service to do. If he had been given a lot of service, of course, previously he used to distribute so many books and he had some idea to come and live in Vrindavan, chant many rounds. We just became miserable. Srila Prabhupada warned about that. He said, if we try to imitate great devotees and just chant all day when we're not in a mature state, then we'll think of women and money. Well, material desires will enter and cause us to fall down. So this serving here is a very intense activity, and then we're able, we're blessed. Tobe to gaibo hari nama shuke. Then we're blessed to chant Hare Krishna in great happiness. So keep that beat going on, keep the kirtans strong, keep everyone in that strong, vibrant mood of wanting to serve Krishna. When people come to our temple, they may come to see the big building, something impressive, but best that they become even more impressed at the vibrant spiritual atmosphere, which comes from a sense of full dedication to Krishna. Everyone's all serving together, cooperating, because we all want to serve Krishna. We all want to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. The kirtans are strong. If the kirtan is all watery and it's all based on who can sing with the most stylish voice, may not be so pleasing to Krishna as when devotees are singing with enthusiasm. Of course, it's not that every kirtan has to be banging and this, but the point is that the enthusiasm to serve Krishna, that's reflected in the kirtan, and that has to keep that enthusiasm. That's the first requirement in Krishna consciousness. Utsaha, nishaya, enthusiasm and determination, all these qualities are given for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Utsaha, nishaya, dharya, patience. So the first is enthusiasm. But that enthusiasm, again, has to come from the sense of considering, I'm so fortunate. I have the chance to serve Krishna. Now let me do so to the best of my ability. And maybe even more. Maybe Krishna will give more ability if I try. Let me try for Krishna. So that enthusiasm, sustained enthusiasm. Now, enthusiasm and then the next minute not enthusiastic, that's not spiritual enthusiasm. Therefore, nishchaya, determination and patience, sustained enthusiasm in devotional service. So we have to keep on pushing forward, push ourselves forward in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said just as my Guru Maharaj is pushing me, and I'm pushing you. Just in Mayapur, that time, this quote I gave, Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Mayapur, that temple was built because Srila Prabhupada pushed for it. Otherwise, who would have an idea to build a temple in Mayapur? That even the devotees asked, why are we building a temple in the middle of empty rice fields? It didn't seem to make any sense. But Srila Prabhupada had a vision, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision. That was also envisaged even hundreds of years ago. Nityananda Prabhu has said, Ek Adbhut Mandir Hoibe Prakash, one Adbhut, wonderful temple will be manifested. Others didn't see what will come. Srila Prabhupada saw. He pushed his disciples. They accepted Srila Prabhupada's push. They didn't even understand why, but they accepted. And gradually, they came to understand. So keep on pushing. Push forward the activities of this movement. Distributing books. is actually, Srila Prabhupada said, that's more important even than building temples, distributing books. And they should go on side by side. Building temples, distributing books, and preaching to others to come to Krishna consciousness. So pushing forward the movement. At the same time, we have to push forward and not push ourselves forward. That not that everyone will see me. Naturally, if someone takes responsibility and leadership and tries to do something in Krishna's, in an attitude of service, people will see. But our ambition should never be that people will see me, they will praise me. Then that's not devotional service. So this section of the 15th chapter is just in summary, Krishna gives all the qualities of pure devotees. One of them is given Savaramba, Parityagi. He gives up all endeavors. But then Srila Prabhupada in the purport clarifies that one doesn't take any endeavor for oneself, but for Krishna can make so much endeavor. And he gives the example of building a temple. So I thought to quote that as you're building a temple here. Hare Krishna. Any question, please, about this? No question. From the Tamil side? No. Okay, finished. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.